It's good to be together, to worship our God, and to open God's Word. Some of you may be coming out of a week of sun and fun or the light feeling of the end of a school year. For many here, this is a challenging week, especially those who are at Synod or paying attention to Synod. And we've spent a lot of time thinking about deep matters, doing hard intellectual work, and feeling a heaviness of heart. So for all of us, I pray that this message from Scripture will be a healing balm to our spirits and give us hope. Paul's letter to the Ephesians offers encouragement to the believers there. And it offers encouragement to us, encouragement that Christ brings healing to brokenness and establishes the church as the first fruits of God's shalom. Chapter 1 revealed that God the Father has adopted us as children. And in chapter 2, Paul assures believers that they've been saved by grace and that Jewish and Gentile believers have been brought together in Christ, a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. And then in the third chapter, Paul begins a prayer, and then he interrupts himself again to address that mystery of God bringing Gentiles together with Jews as heirs in Christ, and his own mission to share this mystery, the gospel good news of God's grace. And he says that we may approach God with confidence through faith in Jesus Christ. So then, we begin at verse 14 of Ephesians 3, where Paul returns to his purpose, a profound prayer for believers. Paul writes, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The artwork on the bulletin cover and on the screen is by James Fissell. In his last years, he began to explore painting and became fascinated with the sphere as a shape that he said reflects the deep sense of mystery that permeated his relationship with God. He said, "As I work with this shape, I am constantly reminded of God's love for me and how God is in control." He said, "Recently, the circle shape has come to represent all I can't see or understand." Well, that work, that vision, seems fitting for this message about the mystery of God's love, which is beyond comprehension. So I'll share a few more of his paintings throughout this message. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is a prayer for all believers, for us today too. In the midst of raging wildfires and crippling drought and roaring floods, in the midst of wars across the ocean and violence across the street, in the midst of theological debates in our denomination and trouble in our homes, we need to hear God extends grace and power and love. We need a reminder that because of Jesus Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, as Paul does, in prayer. So Paul kneels before the holy God to offer a most profound and glorious prayer. And did you notice that this too is a Trinitarian prayer? As he often does in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul invokes all three persons of the triune God. He kneels before the Father of every family. He prays for God's children to be strengthened by the Spirit in their inner being. And he prays that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Paul speaks of the glorious riches of God and prays that from that glory, God will strengthen us and give us power through the Spirit. When Christ dwells in us, makes his home in us, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit continues to work within us, to build us up in faith, to bring about transformation, to make us more and more like Christ in our attitudes and our conduct. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. And here Paul moves from that architectural language of a dwelling or temple or established building, and now adds a gardening metaphor as Paul talks about sturdy roots. When Christ's love is the source of that strong foundation, those deep roots, he prays for us to be given the power to grasp how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ. How can we possibly grasp this love? Surely it is beyond any human comprehending. And yet, we so deeply long to grasp God's love, to grab hold of it. And so we join in praying that God will ground us so firmly in his love that we may learn this love with all God's holy people. This love that is so wide and long and high and deep. This love that knows no bounds. We really want to know this love that surpasses knowledge. How can we know if it surpasses knowledge? That somehow it's true. God's love is beyond comprehension, and yet we may know God's love because of the way that Christ dwells within us by God's Spirit. So Paul prays that you may know this love, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Here in this letter, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and to the whole church as the body of Christ, the body which is to be filled with love and power and the grace of Christ. Christ, who is most perfectly filled with divine power and goodness and love. Through Christ, we begin to experience the gifts of the Spirit and the fullness of God's power and love. And as we are being filled, we begin to extend that love to others also. That love that is so wide and long and high and deep. We long to grasp it. We look for ways to experience it and begin to understand it. And for many people, experiencing the deep love of parents helps us to understand just a little of the love of God. I often have the pleasure of visiting new parents. And when I watch a young mother cradling her baby with such tenderness and joy, I see a small picture of God's love. And recently I was talking with the mother of adult children, and she recounted her experience of that new mother's love. She said, "When my first was born, I realized that I loved her in a way that was new. It had no strings whatsoever. That love was pure and unbounded. I knew in the depths of my heart that she could do nothing to make me love her more or less." She said, "And then I saw every person in the world that way, that they were also someone special and most loved person. And that God loves us so infinitely more than that, she said. And I was forever changed, forever transformed. I loved hearing that from her. God loves us infinitely more. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. The Bible tells us so. Throughout the whole of Scripture, we hear about the love of God. And we grasp for these promises, these assurances of the love of Christ in all the challenging moments of our lives. This past week, Ryan Strzok wrote a piece in Reformed Journal that testifies to that longing for the assurance of God's love. Ryan is an LGBTQ member of the Christian Reformed Church. As a gay person, he's had some rather traumatic experiences in Christian churches and schools. This is what Ryan wrote, part of what he wrote. After two decades of Christian education, I still spend some days trying to convince myself of the refrain, Jesus loves me. And I am still working to reverse the shame and self-hate that stems from the ultimate message from the institutions that raised me. You don't belong. He says, I know this is uncomfortable to read, it's uncomfortable to share, but I tell you this because I want you to hear a real candid view, not sanitized, of my experience over the last decade as a gay son of the denomination into which I was baptized and raised. He goes on January 12, 1992, a CRCNA congregation made a promise to me. Do you promise to love, encourage, and support Ryan by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family and fellowship, prayer, and service? We do, God helping us. He says, even more importantly, with omniscient knowledge of my sexual orientation and the events of my life from birth to death, God sealed that promise to adopt me into God's family too. And then 19 years ago today, the day he posted this, I accepted those promises in my own profession of faith. And he asks, was there an asterisk? Was there an asterisk? It's a difficult question, isn't it? And I want to respond to Ryan, no. There's no asterisk. Yes, Ryan, Jesus loves you. And we want to love you and support you too. And yet we also join Ryan in wondering whether there is room in our denomination for him and others who are LGBTQ. And sadly, Ryan is not alone in wondering about the love of God. And it's not just LGBTQ folks who wonder about the love of the Lord. Many of us, maybe many of you, wonder, does Jesus love me? And so I'd like to reassure you. We'd all like to reassure each other through our words and our deeds, and by pointing to the promises in God's word. You who are wondering whether you are as smart or as talented as your peers, whether God cares about you enough to equip you with the energy and the skills needed for the work of summer ministry that you have committed to, the Lord loves you. The Lord will strengthen you with power in your inner being. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You who have trouble just getting out of bed because of anxiety or depression or chronic pain, you who find yourselves in a pit of despair, wondering whether life is worth living or you are worth loving, yes, Jesus loves you. And so many people love you too. Love never fails. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You who feel trapped in an abusive relationship, may the Lord give you courage to walk away. And you who still desire a companion to walk through life with you, may you find friendship in the Lord who loves you so deeply. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. You who have been arguing with someone about how to understand particular passages in Scripture, the Lord loves you even, maybe especially, when you cannot comprehend how long and high is God's love. And this is one of the verses that we've been reading preparing for Synod. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You who feel uncomfortable in your body, too tall or too thin or too flabby or too pale or too preoccupied with how your body looks, the Lord who made you loves you as you are. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace through God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You who have too often chosen the bottle over your family or your work, and you who have squandered your resources in wasteful living, the Lord pursues you with long-lasting love, encourages you to make good choices, and is always ready to welcome you home. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, with love for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. When you have lived 80 years and more, and your body becomes frail, or you have trouble finding the words that have always been at the tip of your tongue, the Lord loved you before you were born, still loves you now, and will love you through eternity. And again, that verse that Pastor Joel used in prayer. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yes, friends, Jesus loves you. Over and over, the Bible tells you so. We can say or sing it together. Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Yes. And Paul, in his letter, has asked God to reveal his amazing love and grace to all God's holy people, to folks like us. God can establish and root us in love and transform us and help us to know that love deep in our minds and hearts and fill us with God's good gifts. So grasp this love, grab hold of it, cling to it, do not let it go, because God will not let you go. I pray that you know and believe this. And as we love one another, the Spirit is also working among us to show the love of Christ through us. Because experiencing the love of God's people is sometimes the best way to know the love of God. As the Apostle John later wrote, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And then finally, we can join that amazing doxology of praise to God, who by his grace communicates love to the world. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." And all God's people say,
amen.
Let's pray. Thank you. Thank you, loving Father, for sending your Son to show us your glorious, unbounded love. Love divine, all loves excelling, come to us and make your dwelling in us. Jesus, you are all compassion, pure love. Visit us with your salvation and enter every trembling heart. By the power of your Holy Spirit, work in us in ways beyond our imagination to extend that love to others and equip us for the work you've called us to do. Dwell within us until Jesus comes again. In his name we pray. Amen.